Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Now, I've used the no-bake noodles. They turned out, I was afraid they wouldn't be as good.
I thought it was good.
Easier. Normally, yeah. When I cook them, I like put them on a towel to make sure all the water's off of them so it's not soupy.
I like them too, Josh. I thought you did a good job.
Thank you.
We just got back from our Thanksgiving meal. So if you joined us in our last episode, that's what we were talking about. In our last Unmasked episode, we talked about how we were getting ready to go.
Thanksgiving. We did Italian this year.
So if somebody nods off and take a little nap, nobody pay attention.
Now we're full of lasagna, salad, and fresh-made focaccia bread.
And I can't promise that if one of us dozes off and falls asleep,
it won't wake him.
They're going to wake up with some penises written on their face. You would.
Wouldn't be the first time.
I know. It's on the face. Wouldn't be.
You're ridiculous.
The last time it wasn't drawn, though, Josh. No, she was trying to make a quick $20. Yeah. There's no shame in the game.
50. Ugh. Oh,
whatever.
It's Kim, though.
They got to pay for skill.
It's Kim, though, Josh.
I got skill.
Do you? Mm-hmm. She's got skills. Now, Josh, you remember when we were younger?
And this is going.
and we would listen to that She's Got Skills song.
Yeah, She's Got Skittles.
Yeah, we thought she was saying
zoom, zoom, zoom. She's got the motion in the ocean
to cure my ill. She's got Skittles. Color of the rainbow.
That's the music we listened to in elementary school.
And ridiculous. I always thought that it was Skittles until much later in life did I learn that it was Skills.
Yeah, and I actually listened to the lyrics as like a teenager. Yeah. Like one guy goes like, "She licked me like a lollipop." Right over our heads. We're thinking it's about candy.
Yeah.
Singing it at the Kmart.
Now, I will say I was a little disappointed because I thought, man, I'd rather have Skittles than for her to have Skills. To be honest with you, the Skittles are delicious. Have you guys ever had the sour Skittles?
No.
Oh, they're so good.
I didn't think I'd like them because I don't care for sour things.
Oh,
I'm not
my God.
All
I
into
love
it. They are
sour
like
things.
Crack.
I get
they are dangerous.
Berry, or sometimes the tropical.
Those are good.
The smoothie ones are the best.
But the sour ones, I'm telling you, because it's not all sour like all the time. Like when you start biting into it, it turns sweet.
Yeah.
It's just a good sour sweet mix.
Interesting.
I'm
so good.
I like Skittles, but if I am looking for that type of candy, I'll get the Chewy Sprees.
Oh, sure.
Chewy Sprees.
I do like those too.
Yeah.
Although sometimes I don't look right and I get the regular ones, which are hard, and I go to bite into it and I'm like, damn it.
One of my favorite things when I was a kid was those great big sweet tarts that were chewy.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking
about. I love those.
You know what I've never been able to get into, and I don't know why people eat them, is Jawbreakers.
Oh, I like Jawbreakers.
I can't stand them.
The cinnamon ones especially.
The issue I have is I can't bite into it.
I do.
Well, that's because you're not supposed to.
I like the tail. I like to.
Well, Josh over here, he's got a jaw well practiced. He's just like, impossible to break into. Let me see that. Let me take a look.
Mm-hmm. I didn't eat them for years after I saw the movie Jawbreaker, but then I got back into it.
I didn't even know there was a movie called Jawbreaker.
Yeah, it came out in like the early 2000s, I think.
I didn't
early
know that
90s.
Either.
It stars Rose McGowan. It's kind of like a Mean Girls before Mean Girls came out, where these preppy girls go to surprise their friend for a birthday and they do one of those like fake kidnappings, and they put one of the big jawbreakers in her mouth, put tape over her mouth and like carry her to throw in the trunk, and they're going to surprise her with like a party or something. But she ended up suffocating because the jawbreaker got logged.
Well, no kidding.
She had duct tape around her, and you know, the movie's like, oh, they have to hide the body, and now they're killers, and blah, blah, blah. So it's like Mean Girls, but with murder. murder. But after that, I was like, oh, jawbreakers can kill you. I don't want that.
No, no, I can't. And then they have those huge ones, too, that they'll sell on the mall.
Like, yeah, shoved it in there.
I can't do those great big ones. I do like a small one, though.
Is that why you were with your first
husband? I like hard just candy. Ahead of me. I like my favorite hard candy is Jolly Ranchers. Mm. I used to love me a Jolly Rancher. Used to, they were in grape. Stick. They weren't in the little nuggets, you know, we get. They used to be in a big stick, and I had those for so long.
I used to be a big push pop kid. I loved the
I forgot about those.
Oh, I loved them. I'd sit there at church.
Remember the rings? That's where Josh Garish practiced.
I know, you know it.
Remember the little ring pops?
Ring pops.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
I get one every once in a while.
What I didn't like, though, is, again, you know, we were raised by our grandma, and we don't like messy things. So sometimes that little candy thing would get run down your middle finger, and I was just,
well, it was so big, sticky. And you have to, like, put it down, and then it gets dust, and
you just
rinse it off.
Yeah, I rinsed it off often if it started like getting nasty, because it would start.
That's why
almost
I like the push
off.
Pops because it had a convenient.
Yeah. Well, plus it was like lipstick for you.
Yeah.
You would think that we have not ate.
You know me so
in
well.
A month because we're sitting here talking about food.
Why haven't had dessert yet? I'm waiting.
Oh, no, I did.
I'm digested.
We have to start somewhere.
That's true. But hey, this is a very special episode.
Is it?
Yes.
Tell me more.
This is our 100th
That's true.
Show.
In a sound 100. Effect. Any of them.
Oh, we need this. That one.
I feel like it changes every time we push a button.
It should have been the clapping.
Yeah, I've never heard that. I think it's yellow. No.
Yellow was mellow. That was yellow mellow.
It's one of them.
I didn't think this crickets was ever going to stop.
Here we go.
Ooh, scoop that's a party.
Episode 100.
Jamina.
Drop it. Drop it low.
This
Kim put it on the show. She's going to give it for $5.
That's a groovy beat.
You got a coupon. She'll still give it up.
Doesn't it sound like a $2. Mystery Inc.?
Yeah.
And an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Take her to McDonald's, but don't take her to Taco Bell because that will make her go... Oh, yeah.
You know I'm not going to cut that out.
Good.
Okay, Kim. Well, that was a little spur of the moment thing. I swear I don't remember that one. I think that's the movie's changed.
No, we've danced to that one before.
Or I have to mention, I don't remember. We've danced to that before.
Ridiculous.
Are you? Yeah, maybe we did. I don't know. It seems like something we would do, though.
We're gonna
it down, flipped it, and reversed it to that.
Oh, I see that.
Good Lord. We're going to actually dedicate this episode to a friend of ours.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell
a very good friend. His name was Jerry Pauly. He was the podcast host, one of the hosts of Hillbilly Horror Stories. Very good friend of mine and of Kim's. And Josh, you met him one time, I think, right?
Yeah.
But what I really love about Jerry and Tracy is they are both super short. And Jerry was so short. So anytime we took a photo next to each other, he would want to make sure there was someone in between us. Otherwise, it looked a little weird because he was just so short and he was thin. So it made him look even smaller.
A little,
we
welcome you to the Lollipop Guild.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I would have loved that.
But Jerry actually passed away on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, early
in the morning.
What's weird is I was texting him the night before. He had ended up in the hospital. He had some type of an event of some kind. I'm not sure what kind. And then he got sent to the hospital. He collapsed, it sounded like. And it didn't sound good when he first got in there. So I didn't think that I would hear from him. And then all of a sudden we started just messaging each other back and forth on Facebook Messenger, which was how we normally communicated. And it was a really good conversation. I asked him how he was feeling. And he said he was in a lot of pain. And, you know, sometimes you just have those friends that you just joke around with and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so just to try to give him a little smile in a, you know, a tough place, I was like, now, Jerry, if you ever get a good looking nurse coming in your room, you just tell her you need a bath. You've been a dirty boy. And, you know, he laughed at that. But that was the last time I talked to him.
Aww.
And he died that night early in the morning. But that was, it was so sad. And then so all Thanksgiving, I was just down. And because it's just weird that when you talk to someone so often, that they're just not there anymore. You know,
not
and
only were you grieving, you had to eat that unseasoned white.
I went to a white people's Thanksgiving. It was absolutely horrid. But anyway, so Jerry was just a really good person. And
he's actually the one that put together the cruise that we went on.
Yeah.
And we went on it with Jerry and Tracy and some other people, and we had a really good time.
Yeah, and when I was in Florida last, just a few months ago, maybe, they moved down from Lexington to the Daytona area. And so I met them for, I think it was lunch, and we had a good time. And every time, he's just one of those people that when you get back together with him, it's just like you just start where you left off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like you never
No matter
walked
how
away.
Much time passes.
Yeah.
Yep. Nothing's depleted from the friendship.
He's a good guy, and he will be sorely missed.
Yes, by not only us, but we have a lot of mutual listeners who, you know, I saw them grieving as well. And our heart goes out to Tracy, of course, because I can't imagine what all she's going through. And hopefully by the time this episode comes out, she'll be in a better place. But yeah, it's still so weird that he's not here and I just can't talk to him. You know, it's just odd. We had created that short Halloween thing for him to be a part of his little Halloween thing. That's what we had created that for. And so that was, he would put together those things often yearly, and we would just, you know, work together and create this thing with a bunch of other shows. And he was very well connected in the podcast community. So it's very sad and, you know, unbelievable that he's not here anymore.
He's actually our Bless Your Heart for our 100th episode.
One of
our listeners, Savannah M., she emailed us about him, and you texted it to me the other day, and I'm just going to read what she had put in the email itself, because it was, I felt like she just touched all bases, and it was just such a lovely email.
Yeah.
Said, I wanted to submit a Bless Your Heart about Jerry Pauley. As you all know about Jerry, but some don't, know him past his voice of Hillbilly Horror Stories. Jerry was the definition of kind-hearted, always put others before himself, and was the sweetest man you could ever meet. Jerry would give out his cell phone number to people, except Shane, because he's Facebook Messenger.
No, I do have his phone number.
Who just needed a shoulder to simply even sigh on. It didn't matter day or night. He always wanted to make sure you walked away with not only a smile on your face, but a smile in your heart. He always saw the best in people, even when they couldn't see it in themselves, and he never asked anything from anyone except for one simple favor. Well, I guess three things. Always be kind to the person next to you, thank a veteran or a civil servant, and to share his podcast to others and give him a 5-star rating. No matter the ghost stories you gave him, he never gave you any doubt that he thought you were crazy. Jerry was always everyone's biggest cheerleader. Thank you, Savannah, for your email.
It definitely was. And Tracy, if it gets to your ears, we're thinking about you.
Yeah, we love you.
We love you. And
what's also really great about Hillbilly Horror Stories is at the end of all his episodes, which is what Savannah was touching on, he gives the number for or the contact information for suicide hotlines. And he thanks all the veterans out there. And his Facebook group, the Hillbilly Horror Stories Facebook group, has really become a community of people who support each other. Mm-hmm. It's really cool to
see supportive.
Yeah, because sometimes people go through a hard time, and so they know that they can go there and talk about it, and they'll get a lot of support from other people to help lift them up and cheer them up. So it's just a unbelievable thing, and he'll definitely be missed, but I think that his legacy will definitely live on in the hearts of not only the podcasters that knew him, but also all the listeners that he's touched, just like Savannah. So, Jerry, we miss you, and we hope that you also enjoy our 100th episode. They have created so many episodes, like his content push out. I don't know how he was keeping up with it.
Do you know how many that he's done?
I knew at one point in time, but I feel like he created so many that I don't even know the estimate now. But yeah, he's been doing it for a long time as well. So I started through mutual friends. I met him several years ago and we became very good friends.
He has done it for several years. I mean, we've only been doing this show for 2 years, and we're, you know, at our 100th.
Yeah, right now, and we were actually talking to Jerry about doing a crossover episode so that we could work with him and Tracy to do an episode together for both Hillbilly Horror Stories and Mystery Inc. But unfortunately, that hadn't happened before he passed away. Yep. Very sad. But life goes on, and we don't like to live in sadness.
No, we don't.
And Jerry wasn't that type of person either.
Even speaking about him, I don't want anybody to think we're being insensitive, because if you listen to our podcast, you know we use humor to get through life's hard moments, and especially when someone passes. I know if something were to ever happen to me, I wouldn't want people to sit around being sad. Mm-hmm. I'd want them to think about me and be happy.
Right.
Or horny. Depending on who's thinking.
Emily made sure that she told Shane the other day that, because I had sent her a clip of, what was it?
It was when we were talking about your dead daughter, and I said that she was the pretty one.
Yeah.
And the one that I could stand or something. And so she got in the car yesterday when we went Black Friday shopping, and she's like, I heard what you said, that the pretty one died. And I was like, and I meant every word of it.
No lies were no said lies. That day. Kidding, Emily. You're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's always teased her about Amber being the pretty one.
But that's just a part of me and all of our friendships, is that we have a dark sense of humor, and you don't care for it, you don't care for it, but ultimately I don't care.
Either you love us or you hate us.
Emily's the little sister we never had.
And you know, one of the things I learned from, you know, doing podcasting for so long is, a long time ago, once upon a time, I had spoken to the mother of a victim who was murdered in 1964. And I asked her, like, how she could just go on without knowing whatever happened to her daughter. And she said, you know, Shane, she was in her late 90s at that time. And she said, it's so much easier to live in happiness and hope than it is to live in despair. Mm-hmm. And I always just, I thought, you know, that is so right.
Yeah. So it took me a long time to get to that, but I eventually did. And
it's easier to laugh.
Now I can joke about it, and that's the only way I can get through it.
Yeah. If you don't, it destroys you.
It does. Right. It just eats you alive.
I have a friend whose mother is just filled constantly with grief over her parents who have both passed away. And then like 4 or 5 years ago, her husband who had passed away, and it has consumed her to the point to where, like, on a holiday, you know, she'll have both of her children there and her grandchild, and, you know, they go above and beyond to wait on her hand and foot and make a nice dinner. And after all that, they won't get a thank you or anything. It'll just be, oh, I wish Ma and Dad were, I'm like, give thanks to the living people who are here right now loving on you.
One of my favorite memories of Jerry that I'll share, well, I got two. One of them was when I did a live show with him. It was in Ohio, I believe. No. I'm talking about the one that was in Indianapolis, because my grandma went there.
Her
uncle. I was there. Yeah, and you were there. And it was so fun. And one of the funny things about Foul Play is, if you've ever listened to my crime podcast, Foul Play, I'm very serious. It's narrated. There is no laughing, joy. You don't get my personality that comes through in the narration. It's just a somber, this is the story.
I thought that was your personality.
Well, shit. But anyway, so whenever listeners meet me that only listen to that show, they get very surprised that I can sometimes be funny. And I'm just not that type of personality where I'm just so dry and, you know. And so when I met listeners there, first off, it was a live show, and I can't help but when I get in front of people to make people laugh, because I had done stand-up comedy for so many years.
Right.
So I don't have the instinct to sit down and just be super serious. I want to see people happy and laughing. And so I sat down the very first time. This is a separate instance between the Indianapolis one. The first live show I met with Jerry, and this is the first time I met him in person, was in, I think it was Cincinnati. It might have been Cleveland. It was one of the C's. Yeah, it was over in Ohio. And that was really the first like live show event of some kind that I had done for Foul Play. It's just not my thing. And when I met listeners, of course, I couldn't help but just try to make people laugh and crack some jokes and stuff. And that's how I don't, it's either I become very nervous and I'll freeze, or I can make people laugh and I'm good at that. So I'll default to that. So even though that day I talked about a crime case, I still made people laugh a lot. And so afterwards, it was me, Hillbilly Horror Stories, Justin from Mysterious Circumstances, and there was... Oh, the people who were also on the ship with us.
Brohio?
Brohio, yeah. And Brohio was there. And I had never met Brohio before. And their podcast was very raunchy. And, you know, I didn't know that. But it was fun. And afterwards, the guys from Brohio came up and they're like, man, we didn't know you were so funny. Like, that was really, it was a pleasant surprise. I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. It's the trauma.
When we did that, when you did the one in Indianapolis,
yeah,
and I was sitting there, you get up there and you know, you start cracking jokes, and I'm like, of course, put a mic in front of his face.
I couldn't help it.
That's what he's going to do.
Default.
But that's the only...
It's like I'm a stripper, and there's a pole. I just, oh, hello.
But that's also the only glimpse of seeing you do stand-up that I'll ever get, because you'll never do it with me in the audience, you know?
Well, it's one of those things that, if you're planning to do it and there's people that you know that's there, it just doesn't...
It makes you nervous.
It does, yeah. Yeah, but anyway, so the one in Indianapolis was really fun, and my grandma went there. My uncle Kim was there with her sister and brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And I got up there, and do you remember what I started talking about?
I don't.
I started talking about my grandmother.
Oh,
and I started
yes.
cracking up jokes, mm-hmm. and she was laughing so hard.
Mm. I can hear it now.
That's exactly how it was. You know, she had her oxygen on at that time, and she was just over there dying laughing. I started talking.
She yelled something at you at one point,
did,
but I don't remember.
You knocked their shit off. Yeah.
She met me in the parking lot and gave me a whooping. But,
well, and she wore that pink shirt that had your face on it and name. Mm-hmm. So there's I don't know who he's talking about.
Well, what was funny about that shirt is I made her this shirt. You know, I got one of those little presses. I can't think what they're called. The little
cricket.
Yeah. And so people at that time, that's how, if people were buying shirts from the podcast, that's how I would make them. And my grandma was like, hey, Shane, I want a shirt. And I was like, okay, cool. So I was like, you know, I'm going to make it funny. And so I like put my face on it and it said like my favorite grandson or something like that. Number one fan. I can't remember what it said, but it was funny. And I just thought it was a funny shirt that she would just take it and put it in her closet. But she wore that shirt all the time. And, you know, when she passed away, my aunt made it into a little teddy bear. Yeah. So I have that upstairs.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. In my house. But she would wear that thing so much that, like, so that little teddy bear, like, you can barely make out it's me. she watched it all the time. And, but that was just such a funny memory. But yeah, so she would have worn that shirt there. And I was cracking up all the jokes. And I talked about her first husband and why they didn't work out.
That I remember.
The German blood drinker.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. I said that he had this problem, and the problem was she had to stick her finger up his butt and yell snake just to see the tip. And yeah, that's what she sounded like, Josh. And I knew in that moment it was either she was going to be really mad or she was going to be finding it funny. And thankfully, I'm alive today to tell the story.
I feel like enough time had passed where the trauma turned into humor.
Yeah, that seems like it was the case. But I had a good time, and I know there was a mystery of some kind of crime in that story somewhere, but I couldn't tell you what
so
it was.
Long ago.
Yeah, but I did it. Quite a few of those shows with Jerry, and it was always a super fun experience. And he has very unique listeners that, you know, I didn't experience it until we started Mystery Inc., where you kind of let people in on your personality. And until that point, people were just listening, and they would just know me by this voice and the things that the voice would say, which was a crime story.
Yeah.
But then in Mystery Inc., the beauty of it is that people get to hear your personality and fall in love with the hosts. And the first time I ever witnessed that was the very first live show that I had done with Jerry in Ohio, you know, because he and Tracy always talk about, you know, what's going on in their life and all these things. And so people get an idea of what their personality is, and they just fall in love with it. And so, like, I remember being there and just, like, his fans, it really loved him and her, whereas my fans loved this storyteller that they didn't really know.
Right.
So it's just a very unique experience that I've, thankfully, have been able to experience with you guys over this 100 episode.
100.
Is December going to be our third year?
Is it two? It's 2 years. Because we had our 1 year anniversary.
Okay.
Yeah. So it would be
time
our second.
Has no
December
meaning.
I know.
28th, I think, is what the date is for.
And what episode did you start with us, Kim?
It's like 6 months in or something.
You don't have the number memorized. I'm shocked.
No. And I was just, looking at it last night because I was going through looking at old episodes, trying to figure out which one my favorite was.
The first one that we ever did with you, your first podcast.
I remember doing
Amber.
One with
it
Amber.
Was, and the episode was called.
She's so nervous.
Oh my gosh, I know.
I'm pretty sure that was in June, maybe, or July.
I don't remember.
Beats
we were recording in our studio at that time, and I remember that you were in the back, and you would help us set up and stuff. So you were
kind
just
of threw her in it. You're like, "Hey, you're gonna join
us?"
I
was like, "What?" Because I was just gonna sit there at my desk and work while you guys were recording, because we were all in the same room. Yeah. And
I think that episode's called like The Tragic Tale of Amber, if I remember right.
Yeah, that was the first one I was on. And then I wasn't on it for a while. And then he decided he was going to start videoing. And the first couple episodes, he had problems with the video and it kept cutting off and he couldn't figure it out. Well, then he wanted me to come in and watch the video while you guys were recording.
Which still didn't work very well when producer Kim couldn't produce.
Which that
10 minutes in, she'd be like, "This video's not working, by the way."
Which that turned into a mic in front of my face.
Well, and
then
also
a camera in front of my face.
One of the reasons for that was because Josh and I would crack jokes and Kim would be in the back starting to laugh. So I was just like, well, if you're going to start making noise, we might as well.
I tried really hard not to, but I couldn't.
Oh, I know. Well, Josh and I are funny. We love ourselves. we'll laugh at ourselves. But
I'm sure people have to think that we're conceited because we're all the time talking about how funny we are.
I don't care. If people don't like it, they can move on.
Listen,
they'll probably leave a review.
And I know I'm not the prettiest and I'm not the smartest, but when I walk around Walmart, I sure am.
I know.
Feel like a supermodel.
You know, my secret is when I have a bad day. I know that I've mentioned this before, but it's so true. When I have a bad day and I feel like, oh my gosh, I feel so fat, I feel so ugly, I get on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's why I have most of, like 90% of my friends on Facebook. I'm like, you're
like,
any
of his friends
mess.
Listening, they're like,
oh. Yeah. I'm like, man, I'm so stressed today. Like, I'm going to go surf through my friends list on Facebook.
Let's see who's.
And then afterwards, after about 10 minutes, I'm like, no, I have it so good. Good looking.
Her life's good. Like, she has a good man and children and stuff, but she's pregnant with her third biological child. And then she has a fourth stepchild. So this will be her fourth child. And she's like 2 weeks from popping. So any moment. And I'm like, oh my God, I can imagine having four children. even one. My dog is sometimes too much for me. I'm like, four. Ooh, I feel real good. I'm going to literally do anything I want because I don't have four kids at home.
Several years ago, one of my really good friends was telling me the story about her, I think it was her second cousin, who was a stripper in Anderson at the time. And I don't think she's a stripper there anymore. And
that's a town you don't want to get.
Oh, no.
You ain't making no money.
But so my friend was telling me about how she was Facebook friends with her and how, you know, she just makes all these funny posts and all these things. And well, the next day, my friend sent me a text message. She goes, "Since when have you been Facebook friends with this person? I know you don't know her." And I was like, "Well, I just thought, you know, I have some room on my Facebook friends
She's
list."
Funny.
Yeah, and I'm telling you what, her Facebook post would have me rolling because, you know, there's just certain times in people's life. God bless, not making fun of nobody.
God bless.
We all go through our own turmoil and trouble, but. Oh boy, she had men problems, she had all the problems, and she'd put them on Facebook, and every time I would just be like,
I don't think I'll ever understand why people put so much of that stuff online.
Oh, but I like reading it, if it's a hot mess, if she was just
like
a hot mess
the comments
express.
Even better.
I ex-wife of my cousin on...
I've already lost
which,
her.
Oh, God.
I used to have her on my Facebook just because she was absolutely nothing but drama, but she ended up getting blocked. Actually, she ended up blocking me because she didn't like something I said to her. But
you dumbass!
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I only have like 100-something Facebook friends. I keep it very... Because I'm always like, one step away from deleting the damn thing because I don't like Facebook. And like,
oh, yeah, me too.
I mean, I didn't have one for years. And then when
people are so negative on there.
Yeah, yeah. That's all it like, just nothing.
Yeah, but attacking people and
even negativity. When you put something nice on there, they're just,
yeah,
tear it down to nothing. Yeah. I'm like, I ain't gonna share.
Like, oh, I feel good. I feel good to demo. Put a picture up on my Facebook, and then someone comments, "I like all three of your chins."
Right.
where did that person come from?
Thank you. I might work on four just for you.
Right.
My favorite is I have been trolling mean straight men who I see that leave mean comments on people's stuff, and
how can you tell by reading their comment?
I click on their profile and stalk them a little bit. Like, look at their, if they've stalker. Got a picture of holding up a fish or a dead deer, I'm like, oh, it's a straight man, obviously.
But that's also your type.
Well, no, not the holding up a fish. Take a better picture.
Oh, okay.
That's the type of man that's going to send you a dick pic sitting on the toilet with a turd in the water.
Hey, now that's first class for Kim.
First class.
She would take that in a heartbeat.
I'll pass,
but
thanks.
I found I'm not.
He's eating good.
I'm not overly mean to them. All I say is, "You're short, aren't you?" And they never.
Hey,
because they always are. They always are.
There are those people.
You're short, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm guessing 5'6".
There is a true thing of little boy syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the actual term is, but that's just what I call it because I'm very tall and I can say that.
Oompa Loompa disorder.
Yeah. Like they just become these weird people.
They who take
just
get so mad.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's so funny.
No, Kim, you're not a little ball of anger.
That's true.
You're not a little nothing, Kim.
It depends on where I'm at.
It's like when we were in Myrtle Beach, all those short little bodies.
Oh, I know.
And I'm like, I just could feel the stink eye they were giving us both. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not as tall as you, but I'm 6'3", which for the rest of the world is extremely tall. But in our family, I'm the short man, which I love. But they would like, just like,
yeah, those little bodybuilders. And what's funny about them is like anyone who works out most of their arms, but they have little legs, when they are off in a distance, they look tall.
Yeah.
And then they come closer and you're like, "Are you breaking 5 foot, little fella?" And they don't like that, Josh. When
or
you take
when you
their
tap
little
on
cheek.
Their head.
Yeah, they don't like that at all. I don't know why they have a problem with that.
I
used to not, be judgmental towards short men that would hit on me, but I'm 34. My knees just, I ain't got the knees. I ain't got the knees no more. Well, Lord.
Kim's got plenty of knees and ankles, Josh, if you need to borrow them.
We know, too, that girl can bend over and grab them ankles.
I know. She was over here the other day. She dropped something underneath the chair, and I thought she was top walking and drunk.
90-degree. I'm like, good for you, girl.
I know.
It was my
needle. And what's funny about that is sometimes Kim's like, "Oh, my body hurts." And, she just moves slow. But that moment when the needle for her crochet fell underneath that couch, she pop locked and dropped it right down in there, trying to get that stupid needle out. Josh and I both looked over there and we're like, "What?" I thought there was a camera somewhere. She was trying to make some money.
I was surprised.
Oh, no,
I'm like,
"There's one right in front of me. I don't know what you're talking about."
It wasn't one.
If I had all that ass and could grab my ankles, I wouldn't be single. I tell you what.
You would be single, but you would not be poor.
Right.
Jeez, you two are ridiculous.
I'm jealous between you, mom, and dad. All the ass genes were taken by the time it got to me.
They just gave you the leftovers.
You guys have shelves. Shelves. You can put a can of Coke on it.
Oh, my gosh, Josh.
This is a good thing.
That's not nice.
This is a positive.
You put a can of Coke on it.
I'm so jealous.
I don't think you put a can of Coke on
my body. Do you know what I would do if I had your ass on my body? I would rule the world.
Rule
the world.
At least I'd be ruling OnlyFans.
Good God. You're ridiculous.
You know how many squats I got to do to have any type of... I got grandma's flat ass.
That was so true.
It ain't fair.
I'm surprised.
I'm the only one who uses it, too.
Then what's funny is grandma, I always wondered how she kept her pants up. Because she had no butt, no legs. And I'm just like,
There's nothing worse than a guy that has absolutely no butt at all.
I do have an ass.
You do have.
And in baggy pants, it looks like I don't, but when I take them off, there's like,
yeah, but it's like you'll see somebody hiking their pants up, and I'm like, geez, if you just had a little bit of an
right.
ass,
right? And I don't even get near, I don't even put a finger near a man's butthole, But I don't. I like to something to grab onto.
All right, guys. So we got sidetracked so much. So on this episode, we have also brought with us some of our special skits that we do in our everyday episodes when each of us have a mystery. It's all go ahead and start.
You're going to do yours first?
Yeah, okay. I'll go ahead and do mine first. And so one of the things that if you're new to the show, I have a segment called Shit Far. Well, shit far. And our grandma used to say that all the time when she was surprised by something. And so my story today, it starts in 2020, the day of our Lord, when we all wore masks. Well, an innocent little couple were enjoying themselves during passionate kissing in Detroit.
Passionate kissing.
So they were at an apartment, you know, just kissing away. Well, the 52-year-old woman had previously told the man she don't like any tongue when they kiss.
That's and, the you know, part.
Well, there are some people who just don't like tongue, and there's nothing wrong with that. And she was clear.
I want it down my throat.
She's not a tongue girl. You know, she just doesn't like tongue. She doesn't like
it. If you tell somebody up front, they should respect that.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, little boy, I don't know how old he is. We'll call him little boy because when you do something stupid, it's little boy. So little boy, well, shit far. In the middle of their kissing, he decided he was going to go for it. And as he started slipping his tongue in her mouth.
She bit it.
That's when it happened. Shit far and saved the matches. She bit it off.
Oh, my God.
She bit his tongue off.
No means
which
no.
Which I'm telling you, a woman scorn. Like if no means no. If she tells you, mm-hmm. hey, no, I don't mind
like
a kissing.
They're going to go right in a bobbit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can go all the way. We can go to 10.
Damn, girl, don't bite it off. Just sit on it. Shit far. Don't want it in my mouth. There's another way.
Well, I just can't imagine. And you know, maybe in the moment she was just so freaked out and like, she just bit down. But boy, I'm telling you what, if she does that, I don't know that I would take her any farther.
No.
If she gets that surprise and she gets something in her mouth. But anyway, so she bit it off. And when the police arrived, they found the man bleeding from the mouth.
Well, no kidding.
And he had more than 1 inch of his tongue missing.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I did learn that it was a woman officer who estimated the 1 inch. And we all know that to be true because if it was a man who measured that, he'd be yeah, like,
it would be...
4 inches of his tongue was gone.
I could still make it.
Well, you have a long tongue, Josh. So
you're not the first man that...
They were able to find the man's tongue in the bedroom, where it belongs. And she was charged with aggravated assault, which is punishable up to a year in jail and $1,000 fine.
That's horrible.
I know. But the thing is like if she just bit it off without any instance of telling him she didn't want the tongue, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But my thing is, yeah, like you slip that tongue in there. She says she don't want it. So shit happens.
I hate those type of men where you tell them you don't like it and then they just try to slip it on in just all randomly.
Kim says, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kim, it's probably been decades.
We have done established
who was,
this.
Who was president back then? Was that Bush?
The first one.
Right.
Senior.
Or was it Nixon?
And that's who she slept with.
Right. That was the last one. The last one. Keep up with her.
You're ridiculous.
All right. Well, who else has a segment that they would like to share?
I did my Bless Your Heart for Jerry. And then I did a Touch Grass. And this one, I was on Reddit the other day. And there's a whole bunch where people can post anonymously. Mm-hmm. And those are my favorite. Because since it's completely anonymous, people are just 100%. Get your size 17 and a half foot away from me. So big.
I need to stretch my legs, Charles.
Well, since they're anonymous, people are just completely brutally honest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this one, hold on to your britches because you're going to want to slap those bitches. Sorry, I saw an opportunity to rhyme. This was posted anonymously in the Reddit group Relationship Rules. And it is titled, I want my fiance to get rid of his 5-year-old daughter. Which I could relate to, but
oh my God,
horrible.
That is horrible.
That is awful.
And the poster goes on. Hello, relationship rules. Please keep me anonymous for obvious reasons. I need advice. My 32-year-old fiancé has a 5-year-old daughter. Her mother passed away when she was giving birth to her.
Oh, that is so sad.
He has been raising her ever since he lost his wife, with help from his family, of course. I am now in the picture, and we are going to get married, and I am 6 months pregnant with his son. I am not the stepmother type, so I know I won't treat his daughter the same way I will treat our son. And to be quite honest, she annoys me. She looks exactly like her mother, so she constantly reminds my fiancé of his dead wife, and she is very attached to her daddy, which makes me afraid that my son will not be able to bond with his father because of her. Basically, I want to tell my fiancé to get rid of her. She can live with her grandparents, or we can find her a nice couple that want to adopt a child.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how to approach the situation, but I need to find a way to convince my fiancé to get rid of her. And she ends with, I'm not a bad person. I'm just trying to look out for my son and make sure that he will get all of his father's attention that he deserves. Please help.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't she think that that poor little girl that lost her mother needs a mother also?
Right.
Instead of somebody trying to freaking get rid of
her? Well, and the term get rid of about a kid. It's not like a stray cat or, you know, an old sofa.
You can't take it to the pound. You can take it to the fire station if they're young enough, but you can't take her to the pound.
Now, sure, I will say I like the honesty where, you know, I'm not going to be able to love this little girl the way I do my son, which, you know, we've had experience with our last stepfather. Mm-hmm. He was very jealous of both of us, and it showed, which he had every right to be. We're awesome. He's garbage. But, oh my God, just if this lady, if you ever hear this, touch some freaking grass, you horrible monster of a woman. And I hope this man finds out and does not marry you.
Yes. It reminds me of the Parent Trap, like how the stepmother did. Oh. But what's crazy to me about
the
story is, you know, it's one thing if it's a demon child and you can't stand it. You know, I get that.
Yeah, some kids are assholes.
There have been times where I've been in a place and I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, shut that child up. You just know that they're children. You can't help it.
Right.
But to say get rid of it, you know, that's just crazy. Was she 5?
Yeah, a little 5-year-old
girl. And, you know, maybe she's a demon child, but I don't ever think let's kill her.
My son can have the attention that he deserves from his daddy. I'm like, don't you think that your son would enjoy having an older sister who will love him and be there for him? And that, I don't know, a man might have enough, you know, love for two of his kids? Right. Good God.
I mean, that's so sad. Sounds like
I read it and I'm like, I want to find out who this bitch is.
No kidding. All she is selfish.
I'm grabbing my knife.
Yeah.
She is a selfish bitch. She wants all the attention for her and all the attention for her kids. She doesn't want to give attention to somebody else.
She can go live with the grandparents or find a nice couple that wants to adopt a 5-year-old little baby. I read it and I was like, I'm choosing this because it pissed me off. I was steamed.
Yeah, my blood pressure's a little high right now.
You know, I don't have a lot of faith in humanity, but reading stuff like that, and I'm like, it's anonymous. So, you know, it's like, this is her honest, open opinion.
Yeah.
You know, thoughts.
It also reminds me of like Disney show, every Hallmark
wicked
show.
Stepmother.
Yeah, there's just wicked stepmothers trying to get rid of the little daughter because the dad, is...
All I think of is, of course the dad's not going to do that. And, you know, don't see her actually bringing this up to him, because any father with any type of brain cells in his body would instantly be like, and we're done.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm going to sue you for full custody of our son because you
are not meant to be a mother
at all. Like, I can't. I don't like kids, if I was with a man and he had a 5-year-old little girl who did not have a mom, you got a new mama here, baby. Come on, we gonna go feed ya.
Well,
we gonna go eat.
Also, like, first of all, he had the little girl before he knew you.
Yeah.
And you would have known that he had a child before you ever decided to have a child with
him.
If
you couldn't deal with it, then you should have broken off a long time
ago. So it doesn't sound
like
he needs to get rid of this little child. He needs to get rid of you.
That's one thing I hate about when step-parents do that.
Oh, yeah.
They think like, oh no, I'm just with the person. Mm-hmm. Their kids are theirs.
Right.
But then you get like our stepdad who is just insanely jealous.
Mm-hmm.
At, like to a point where he would constantly try to tell our mother that like I was on all types of drugs and a pill head and all this other stuff. Like I take ibuprofen and Zyrtec. The only opioids I've ever had was when my pelvis was shattered and I was on Vicodin.
And he went in the picture then.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah. Oh, when I was like 17, we got in a car crash and my pelvis was shattered and I was on Vicodin for like 3 months, but I hated it. It constipated the hell out of me.
Yeah, Vicodin
was hurt. I remember when it first came out and it was like 2 weeks and I finally went. And then when I finished, there was no toilet paper. I had to holler for my big brother to come bring me. He was like, oh my God.
That's awful.
Well, Kim, what's your segment?
Well, I have two. You know. I did do
a... down the granny square.
I know.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Was prepared. Okay, so I done my normal two. I gotta find the right one. So I have my Rut-Row Raggies. I have four of them. So I'm gonna do two now and do two on Unmasked.
Okay.
And then I also did the Jinkies, Are You Kidding Me? And I done two different states and one I'll do this one and one I'll do the next one.
Awesome.
All right, so Rut-Row Raggie. There's a place in St. Louis called Medium Security Institution, which used to be a city jail. But it was shut down last year, and it's sat empty ever since. That is until three men broke into the place. They decided they were going to start looking around, and they started messing around and accidentally locked themselves in one of the jail cells.
Oh, bless their hearts.
They were not able to get out. They did end up have to call 911. The police showed up to rescue them. And then handcuffed them and took them for trespassing.
Oh, my God. That was so stupid. It hurts.
I bet their grandma wasn't proud of them.
Mm-mm.
No, probably
no, I don't think so.
A shame.
One of these came. See, was it this thing?
As our dad would say after church to us a lot, I'm very disappointed in you.
One of these was from our buddy Trevor. He's the one that sent it to me. I can't remember if it was that one or not, though. In Phoenix, a man went to a store and asked the clerk to break a $20 bill. As the clerk was opening the drawer, the man took out a gun and told the pourer to pour the contents.
What was inside.
Yeah, to pour what was inside of the register into a burlap bag. The clerk completed as he wished. Then the robber leaves. But...
forgot the bag.
He didn't realize that there was only $15 in the drawer. Oh, so he only ended up with $15 in his bag.
Gonna go to jail.
And left his $20 bill laying on the counter that he wanted change for.
Well, their drawer's
so he
be
walked
up
out.
Over
so he yeah. walked up $5 less than what he had to begin with.
That's so stupid.
Idiot. You ever hear something so stupid, it like makes you feel weak afterwards?
Yep.
Like,
yep, that's it. All right, now we are at Alaska for our jinkies. Are you kidding me? So these are laws that are still showing on the books in Alaska. Mm. Even though it's legal to hunt a bear, it is illegal to wake a bear and take a picture for photo opportunities. Yeah, don't do that. That will land you in jail. In Alaska, it's illegal to whisper in someone's ear while they're moose hunting.
What the hell?
Oh, random.
I know.
At one point
some
in time,
pissed off moose hunter with some power was like, I'm tired of this bitch talking to me.
Well, that's the thing. Like, most of these laws, like, there's some point in time where something happened that someone can make a law and they're like,
okay, well, I want to know the story behind this one. It's considered an offense to push a live moose out of a moving airplane. Who the freak had a moose in an airplane?
What the hell?
You know, I feel like that would be, that should be illegal anyway.
Well, and I've heard of like Operation Beaver Drop and stuff like that.
That sounds like
I've
a
never
porn.
Heard of.
No kidding.
It's probably a parody. No, it was a wildlife rehabilitation program back in the day where they were trying to reintroduce a beaver population because they were overhunted. So they dropped, they had like these crates that had beavers in them, and they would go over, you know, these secluded wilderness areas and drop the beavers, and then the beaver would be able to get out of the box, which was successful. Only a few of them were crushed to death or unable to get out of the box and starved to death. Hmm. But most of them did, and just the benefits they provide helped reestablish the nature area they were in.
Well, that makes sense.
But a moose.
That makes sense of why Kim accidentally signed up for that little plane thing, didn't you? I think that you told me that you mistakenly read that they were looking for free beaver, and you thought that they were looking for something else. It was just this whole confusion, Josh. She shows up, and they're like, man, that's not the beaver we're looking for.
That is definitely
she can't give
true.
It away.
She can't.
I can't.
She was trying.
Makes me think of that Golden Girls episode where Rose was talking about how St. Olaf was doing like in one of the world wars, they had an Operation Cow Drop. They trained attack cows to drop out of an airplane, but they forgot parachutes. But it wasn't a failure. If there's anything the Russians hate, it's a mess.
Oh, my goodness.
That is good.
All right, there's two more for Alaska. Okay. Kangaroos are not allowed in barbershops at any time.
In Alaska?
We don't want
in
your
Alaska.
Kind.
How did they get there?
No kidding. I thought they were only in Australia.
They are.
Well, moose may not be viewed from an airplane.
Oh, turn your eyes. Avert the eyes.
I mean, you can't have them in the plane. You can't be looking at them out of a plane. I don't get it. I just
yeah, I didn't weird. Realize how big moose were.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, you just see a picture
they
of a random
big.
Moose and it doesn't. But then you see a picture of a moose next to a F-150 and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, they have them out in Colorado, don't they?
I couldn't tell you.
I believe they have moose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they are massive.
Yeah. We see, I don't remember if I was with you, but we had gone to Cherokee when we went to Gatlinburg once. And when we were coming back, we seen a moose down there too.
They got moose over there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think they're very common.
See, when I went to, when last time we went to Cades Cove and I went on that little hike while you guys were at that mill place, the reason I came back is because I psyched myself out because I was like, I'm used to hike in Indiana where all you have to do is worry about snakes, not even poisonous snakes. And I'm like, oh, wait, there's bears. Oh, God, there's bears here. And, you know, you start to, like, every noise you hear, you're like, a bear could come get me right now. Who's going to save me? Kim's going to walk her ass out here 2 miles in the woods.
Right. Yeah. No one will find you.
So I had asked our Patreon and on Facebook, since it was our 100th episode, I asked what some of our fans' favorite episodes were, and we did get a few responses. And then after I read these, I want to know what your guys' are.
Okay.
I have mine written down. All right. So our buddy Trevor, he liked the Waco and the Casey Anthony. They were some of his favorites in anything involving UFOs. I mean, weather balloons.
Yeah. Well, what I loved about the whole thing with weather balloons is we started talking about, wasn't it the episode where I was covering the attack on Los Angeles, the battle of...
Yeah, the battle of Los Angeles.
Yeah. So that was on the episode that I was talking about that. And we talked about how they were blaming weather balloons for what they had seen in the sky. And we were just like, oh, you know, anytime we see something, it's just going to be a weather balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Weather balloon, weather balloon, weather balloon. And then like right after we released the episode, there was the whole thing with the Chinese spy balloon.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just weather balloons all over the news. And so our listeners kind of thought that we had a little...
We had something going on.
Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah. I always say, I feel like it runs on both sides of our family.
Right.
We're a little touched.
Right.
But most of them think it's demons talking to them.
So true.
All right. Our friend Mary on our Patreon page, she loves the Fiber One bar story. So many times I've laughed and laughed, but that one is just so damn funny.
You know, I'm glad that people can find enjoyment out of it because it still hurts my body when I think about it.
It was really funny the first 200 times I've heard it.
I know.
Well, what's funny? Now I check out as soon as he says I'm on it.
And you know, so do I because I've said it. I've had to talk about it so often that I don't know what part of it is funny. And so I always have to like go through what happened.
The whole story.
Yeah, because I don't know what people want to hear. So I start from the beginning to the end. Don't know. And then what I also think is hilarious is like, when I would be with Kim and she would introduce me to some people, she'd be like, tell them about the Fiber One, Jane. Mm-hmm. Tell them about the bear story.
That's when I walk away.
Tell them about the Patagonia. Tell them
about the Patagonia. Because they're so damn funny. Everybody should know the story.
I feel like I'm Blanche from the Golden Girls when it's like your St. Olaf story to me. Mm-hmm. When I'm like, bing, bam, boom. He went to work. He didn't bring lunch. Someone gave him Fiber Ones. He ate the whole box, had the shits for 3 days. Bing, bang, boom, and done. That's how you tell a story, Rose. You were telling it when we were at that Dungeons and Dragons place. Oh, and yeah. That's when I texted you. I'm like, wrap it up. I've got places to be. I ain't listening to this Fiber One story one more time. It was like 20 minutes long. I'm like, wrap it up.
Have I told you that?
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm getting my knife.
She also
starts
said...
twitching.
She also said, I love when you share your Amber memories and how you honor her memory. I love to hear Shane and Josh talk about their grandma stories.
That's also, so cute. Aww. Makes me sick.
Sentiment.
Yeah. She said that she was also really good friends with her grandma, and she thinks that you guys would be, they would have been great friends. Her
you know, I've heard that from a lot of listeners, that when we talk about our grandma, it reminds them of theirs.
Older women love us. Exhibit A.
And I think that a lot of grandmas have raised children that were not theirs.
Oh, yeah.
Like their grandchildren. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's just something special about a grandma and grandchildren. Mm-hmm. To me, it's like, it's deeper than a mother and a child because, I don't know, since it's not our flesh and blood mother, I don't know, you're like able to get closer because you can share similarities. Mm-hmm.
You're not disciplining them, you know, like you have to your own children.
However, though, like our grandma had raised us, so like she did have to discipline us. I got whooped. I got the belt.
She whooped me one time. And
well, Josh was just a little angel.
I cried so sadly. And I didn't cry because I got whooped. I cried because I hurt grandma's feelings.
Oh, yeah.
And she said it made her feel so bad that she could never whoop me again. Grandpa, though, he'd whoop our ass with the belt. Kidding. He didn't give a shit.
Look at him wrong. Come here.
I know. What'd you say? Come around.
All right, our buddy Cody, he says, I love the two-part episodes where the podcasters share their tales. Those collaboration episodes are so fun. I love them.
Oh,
the collabs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's funny is, with the collabs, they take a lot of work.
They are very time-consuming.
In the end, it's so rewarding because you just hear what you were able to put together.
Yeah.
But it just takes so much time. And, you know, I have to write the whole story. Mm-hmm. And then come up with what everyone's going to submit. And I don't know if listeners know this, but most podcasters they take their time with things. Mm-hmm. They are procrastinators.
They work on their own time.
So if you give them like, okay, I need this by December 1st, December 5th will roll around, and you're going to have to start being a debt collector, being like, look here, you pay your bill, or you ain't going to be living long. You know, so you just have to like keep going at them, And you know, like, you know, I've been there, but just sometimes when you are working with like 12 podcasts and I have this whole narrative that I have to put together and I'm waiting on you, I'm just like,
when you put very specific and like it cannot be over 10 minutes long and they give you a 30 minute, you can't use this.
Yeah.
It's already going to be 8 hours.
We learned a lot from the very first collab that we ever did a few years ago. And because it ended up being like two-part episodes that were 2 hours a piece. We had way too many people do it. So then we had to cut it down. And
now, see, I started a unique thing with the collabs. And, you know,
now
there's
you
other
hear
podcasts.
It a lot.
Well, and so a lot of podcasts, you know, there's some podcasts that do collabs, but they're just, you know, one person will tell their story and then another person. There's no linkage. And so what I came up with was this narrative of this story, and then throughout the story you would also be introduced to these podcasters who had similar stories to tell. And so it's just a unique thing that I thought of, and I thought it was going to be so cool. It takes a long time. It took me a long time to perfect it. And all of a sudden one day I put out, I think I did a Halloween one or something, and there was another like podcast group that had done one just like it. And I mean, my narrative that I had done the previous Halloween sounded just like the one that they created. And I was like, you know, I don't mind that you see what I did and you're like, you know, I'm gonna build on that. But to mimic me, and even their show notes was exactly how I arranged my show notes.
Like just,
it goes along with the whole narrative, but then it also like has certain things that's unique to those collabs show notes that I created. And I looked at their show notes and I was like, they literally copy and pasted.
Podcasting is the wild, wild west.
Because it is.
People just, oh, I like that. I'm going to steal it.
Yeah, I'm just going to take it. I'm just going to take it. Oh, I was so mad. And what really irked me the wrong
way. Now, they're not all that way. You do have, there are really good podcasters that don't steal other people's things.
Yeah.
They come up with their own things to do. But you do have those.
What really irked me the wrong way with that is one of the person who organized it. And, you know, I don't hold any ill will feelings. I'm over it. But the person who organized theirs, I had in one of mine. And so they saw the script that I created. They saw how I did
So they literally just copied and pasted.
Yeah, they saw how I arranged my shared folder to have them drop in. And so they just mimicked the whole thing. And I was like, why even have me in this world now? If you're just going
to
literally take what I built.
Right. And like, hey, this was inspired by, you know.
I know. Give me a little shout out, something. But I was, and then what's funny is like, I didn't catch it at first because I don't listen to other podcasts normally. And it was a listener who emailed it in and they're like, did you make this? Because I thought this was yours when it came up and I was listening and you're not in it. And I was like, oh no, I didn't. And so I went and like, pulled up the episode and the show notes were exact. I mean, copy and pasted from mine, just changed a few words here and there. And I was like, so this is what it feels like to do something really good and someone just swoops in and wants to steal it.
Was it that real uppity fella?
The uppity fella. You know who you're talking about.
I don't want to say because.
What else do you have for us?
So MT says, absolute favorite moment is when Josh Suri wanted to text Daddy.
God. I still can't believe that happened.
That was in the hotel room.
My God.
That was in Illinois.
Mattoon.
Oh, is that where that was at?
It was in Mattoon, Illinois.
Oh, that's
Did you want me to text Daddy?
No! I threw his headphones off real quick. No!
She says, that'll never not be funny to me. Sorry, Josh.
Well, it's even funnier because I was ghosting his ass. I didn't want nothing like
No. Just all call
Give me bad sex twice.
And who calls? And who calls?
Right.
You know?
Did you want me to call Daddy?
Hell no! Block it!
She also says, I love the banter amongst you guys. Regarding the topics, I appreciate the variety of topics. Honestly, cannot think of anything I didn't enjoy except for Casey Anthony.
Oh my gosh.
I never want to hear that name again. I don't blame you. There's been a lot of stuff.
Enjoy that just for the information we got and the... With the detective who worked on it.
Yeah, that part I liked.
Well, the reason that I decided to do it, and so there's a series that's going out right now on Foul Play on the whole thing. I think the reason that I felt like, you know, although most people know about it, or know about what she did, it's been a while, so sometimes you just forget, like, the details. And you just think, you know, I think that she did that.
Right.
But she has become very vocal on feeling like she is the victim and that her parents abused her and killed her child.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are young people who did not live throughout the trial and didn't follow it.
Right.
And so they are just like hearing her side of the story. And I thought, you know, I want to just remind people of the details behind this. Because when you hear the details, there is absolutely zero chance she did not kill her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And also when you hear the details, you'll understand of why now she is blaming her parents and saying that she was abused. Because she just has this mentality of it's everyone else's fault.
It just takes a special kind of evil to... in my opinion, murder your child and then play the victim.
It's a special kind of stupid.
Yep.
Play, like, I don't like anybody
Out
that plays
the
victim.
No.
Even if I am the victim of something, I'm not accepting that.
Right.
Like, I'm just not.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You're not going to see me as a victim.
Right.
She also says, I love hearing the personal tidbits about your lives. I love hearing about Amber, but it's also difficult as I lost an older brother to a drunk driving accident. I'm so sorry.
Our dad was in a drunk driving accident.
I have a lot of issues with drunk driving. But anyway, but I love hearing how Kim cherishes her memories. Love Mystery Ink Team.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, that's so cute.
Isn't that sweet? Bella said, I'll never be able to look at a Fiber One Part addict ever again.
Here we go again.
Shane. That was hilarious. I also love all the stories about Shane and Josh's nan. This one must be, she's from England.
From England.
And when you share thoughts about Amber and mention Emily, it feels like hearing friends chat about their families.
Oh, that's good.
Dina says, Josh taught me how to make gravy.
Oh, I'm so honored. That's all any gay boy of a southern grandma ever wants in his life.
Just to learn how to make gravy.
I hope it turned out good.
Right.
Christine?
If it's too runny, use a little cornstarch and some water. Yep. Flipping it right up, honey.
Christine said, I really like the banter between the three of you and the stories of Grandma. I think my most memorable episode is the one that I told about Amber's passing. Yeah, I felt it in my soul. She said, much love to you, Kim.
We're all listening. Nice.
Yeah, I think I might have had a tear or two when I read that.
Oh, sure.
It's always hard losing the pretty child.
I know.
The other one's just a devil. The devil is alive in her.
She is so rotten.
I always got along with her because if any of you know gay men, there's not a lot of difference between gay men and teenage girls. We're both in boy crazy and basically into the same exact things, singers and fashion-wise and everything else.
Yeah, and Emily was a teenager when you guys actually met. Yeah,
so we were like mentally the same age.
I think the first real time that we really had Tennessee. Was around you a lot was in Tennessee, and we just all bonded so well that we had so much fun.
Yeah, I was a little nervous because I'm like, I've never really met her daughter. I don't know how, you know, a teenage girl, and then like, 2 hours in, I'm like, we're the same.
Yeah, we had so much fun. We need to do that again. And then the last one that I have, this one was actually on Facebook. It's from Savannah. Some of my favorite episodes are when Josh just starts laughing about whatever jokes he cracks. And then Shane and Josh tell stories about their grandma. And I also hearing Kim tell stories about Amber.
I think Josh laughs at himself in every episode.
He does.
Everything
he cracks himself
up. You're just so funny, Josh. He's his biggest fan.
Listen, I am by myself most of the time. And if I wasn't able to make myself laugh, I feel like I would go crazy.
I don't blame you.
I'll just be sitting by myself and crack myself
up.
Oh,
yeah. I will be in the car and I will think of something and I'll start laughing.
I love this part just because I know how she's been a listener for a very long time. She says my two favorite episodes is the one about Johnny Appleseed and episode 7 about the Amber Room.
That sparked a lot of interest,
and she even started looking into it herself because she was fascinated by it.
Yeah, since then, I've got a big old piece of Amber our friend Brent gave me, and I just every once in a while, I'll look at it because I'm like, there's a whole room made out of this.
Yeah,
I have a couple pieces of jewelry that I've had people buy me because Amber.
That makes sense.
All right, let's talk about our favorite ones. We'll kind of go for each one of us.
Okay.
So my favorite Josh episode is from definitely the Star Charts. I thought the Star Charts was really interesting. But he's had a lot of other ones. My favorite Shane episode was the World Tour.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
I thought it was the world tour. Yeah, you learned so much about different countries and that kind of thing.
And we like to travel.
Everything but how to pronounce.
Hey, Josh, you know, I can't be perfect in every other way and then also be perfect in pronouncing things. I have to have a shortcoming somewhere, Josh, and that was it.
And I liked doing my episode on Robert the Doll.
That was my favorite one.
Creep me the hell out.
And I do like the ones that, the crimes that shook us, where we were talking about, the ones that we couldn't get past.
Right. What's your favorite, Josh?
Let's see. Oh, that's my joke. Well, my favorite, I loved when you covered Helen Keller, because I did not know obviously nothing about her besides that she was deaf and blind. Had no idea she was an author. When I think of Helen Keller, I think of her as a kid, not about her later in life.
Right.
And I had no idea she lived such a full, long, productive life.
And that she was one of the most well-known people at the time.
Yeah.
She was so famous.
And world traveled. She'd been to every country almost or something like that. I also, the weather balloon thing, that is...
Oh,
that was episode 3
right
when we started, and It just, anytime I think of a weather balloon or hear it on the thing, it brings a smile to my face. But my favorite was first our trip to Mattoon, because that was our first excursion for Mystery Inc. And we went to the original, what was it, Burger King?
No, it was the, no, they had the other Burger King.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, that so there was this big lawsuit with the actual Burger King. And so Burger King, the corporation, isn't allowed to have.
Within like 10 miles.
Yeah, within that area, because there was one that was there before they franchised.
And it was just such a bizarre story.
Oh, yeah.
Like the mad guzzler of Mattoon.
Yeah.
And then my absolute favorite Mystery Inc. moment was when we all went to Hershey, Pennsylvania and Gettysburg.
Oh, that I love
trip
that
was
trip.
Just, not only did we escape the snowstorm that was headed to our area because we left the night before, but we went to Hershey and you guys went and saw Winona and why I got dicked down and the hotel, not in our room, went to his.
I did not know you did that.
Of course I did. I had a whole evening alone in a hotel. Of course I'm getting dicked down, girl, if we met. But Gettysburg was just so much fun. We did the audio tour, and I had always wanted to go, like, anything about the Civil War I find very interesting. And I've been to Civil War days, and we have several Civil War battlefields around us, and I've been to all of those, but Gettysburg was just completely different in the museum and the movie that we saw and just the whole trip in general.
I think it's because everybody knows Gettysburg.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody knows about the smaller ones around, you know. Around,
right. We all learn about it in school.
But everybody knows what Gettysburg is.
Right.
And it was just such a fun trip. Like,
it was,
that was
yeah.
probably my favorite trip I've ever been on. Because it was, we all just had such a good time.
Yeah.
And we always
while
have a
good
time.
While it was cold, it was so beautiful in Gettysburg.
Oh, yeah.
The hills.
Yeah,
and
it was really
pretty. We even went to that sister restaurant on Ponderosa, which I loved Ponderosa, and I was so excited. I was like, oh, what? It even smelled the same, and the rolls and the chicken. But yeah, my favorite memory is when we all went to Hershey, Pennsylvania and Gettysburg, because that was
we've had some of the best
trips. Yeah.
And we've had some of the best trips.
That breakfast
pizza. My favorites. You guys named a lot of the things that I was going to talk about. But two of them that you guys didn't mention that I just really loved is one of them was when we went to Nashville and we did the history, or we were there for Crime Con also, but we did some things for Mystery Inc. So we did the little tour.
Yes.
But I also loved when we went cemetery hopping to find the famous country singers and things. That was a lot of fun.
We couldn't find Tammy.
I know. Well, eventually we did find Tammy, but we were like running out of time when they were going to close the thing down. And then I loved when I saw like that she died pretty young. And I didn't, and I asked Josh, like when we were in the car, I was like, where did she die from? And Josh was like, she died in her sleep. And I was just like, that seems weird. And then I like dug more into
it.
And
I love that.
I did the episode. Yeah. Like, that's absolutely bizarre to me that no one knows that her husband probably killed her. But I mean, it's just, it was such a good story. And I love like seeing all those people that we were able to see. And it was so funny too at the cemetery because we couldn't figure out where some of these people were. And we knew that she was going to be in, is it a mausoleum? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And so we saw the really old one.
Everyone, yeah, the smelly
it's like
one.
Two floors.
Oh, yeah.
We walked through that whole
the whole
no
thing.
Air conditioning.
It was hotter
nothing.
Than crap in there.
The elevator was sketchy. We're like, we're not getting on that.
No.
I ain't getting stuck in this mausoleum.
And we were the only ones in there, and it was a big it was so weird, but
it was weird.
It just felt like people were watching you.
Well, and I can't remember who's, I'm so bad at like singers and who sings what. But I realized when we were, the whole time we were driving through the cemetery, I kept singing Stand By Your Man in my head. I had no idea it was a Tammy Wynette song until we had found her. And I'm like, what songs did she sing? I can't remember what she sung. And then the first one that popped up, Stand By Your Man, I was like, oh, she's speaking to me.
Evidently.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. Oh, decayed rose.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
And that was
they
the
need
most
to throw those
pungent.
Things away.
It was really the inside of the old one, though. It was kind of cool, the little chapel part, and then the colored glass walls and stuff they had. That was really pretty.
I remember I used the bathroom and there was someone left a needle in there and I just...
And the toilet was loose, wobbly.
Yeah, I sat down on the toilet, the whole thing almost falls over. Oh my gosh. But I love that episode. I also really loved that time when it just naturally happened, but Josh and I were talking about our grandma, and we start talking about her BVDs.
How, yeah.
And Josh, we were just like, Josh was like, yeah, I know what BVDs is, you know, da, da, da. And in the next episode, I had already, I like figured out what they were. I come in and I talked about it.
I knew what they were.
And I found that song.
Remember? Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I sung the lyrics to it. Oh, it was such a good song.
I still have my BVDs.
I don't know that we've ever had a bad episode. There's always something good going on.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
We always find a good way to...
Well, what's funny
is like when we first started the show, and even as the show went on within the first year, we always thought that people would get annoyed by how much we like to talk.
Yeah, and that's what everybody likes.
My favorite podcasts now are just people talking, shooting the shit.
Yeah. But in the beginning, like, if we got any feedback, most of the time it would be like, I like it, but they talk too much.
Yeah, we just want the mystery.
Yeah.
We're like, fast forward.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember Josh and we were together, we would just say exactly that. If you don't want to listen to us talk,
right,
fast forward it. This is free.
That's that charm for me is us being able to sit here and talk about our lives with our friends and just catch up.
That's another point that I wanted to talk about is I loved we went to Crime Con in Nashville and we met some of our listeners.
Yes.
And it was so nice because a lot of them would talk about how they just love listening and they feel like they're in the room with their three best friends. Talking shit.
And that's what we go for.
Which is what we do.
Yeah, that's what we try to do.
And we cover some dark things. You know, there's a lot of horrible mysteries. And I don't like listening or watching something to where when you finish it, you're left feeling, I guess, hollow.
Heavy.
And sad. And I feel like we do a good job of covering these things with a good degree of sensitivity. Mm-hmm. But when we're through with that, you know, lightening it back up again to where when we do finish, it's not sitting heavy on people's hearts.
Yeah, and that's so important because I think that life is already hard enough.
Yeah.
And if we can just find a way to laugh and have fun together, that makes it all better. And, you know, I also realize that a lot of times we talk about, you know, sometimes there was an election recently and sometimes, you know, our... the side of the aisle that we fall in comes out. But what I also love is that we have listeners who will stick around and ignore our democratic thoughts sometimes.
Our very liberal
democratic. Yeah. So what I love is that we have people who are on all sides of the political aisle.
Right.
But we also have men and women who listen. And we have people of all colors. Yeah, Josh, we have some straight
men. I knew Travis, but I didn't know we had
Travis? Who's Travis? Trevor. You mean Trevor?
Trevor. Listen, we've established I do not remember men's names.
I'm so sorry, Trevor.
Josh,
I'm going to start calling him T-Daddy.
We have other men. We have other men on even Patreon.
Oh.
Yeah. Cody.
Shocked.
Yeah. Shocked.
Josh. And not one message in my DMs. I'm just kidding.
I forget what his name was, but the guy that bought my blanket.
Yeah. The guy who is in England.
Yes.
I don't remember what his name is.
Yeah, I forget. Either,
but yeah, so we do have men that listen. And so I just think that is so cool that although Josh and I were raised by our grandma and Josh is gay, that we also attract men, straight men.
Yeah.
That is
nothing new for me.
I think I like how diverse we are. You know, I'm an older woman and a gay male and a straight male, and we're just completely different.
Mm-hmm. You know. All kinds of perspectives. Yeah. And I like that when we had a listener message us or comment on Patreon about how when we were talking about politics and stuff, how they voted the opposite of us. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we need to get back to that, to where we stop letting these things divide us because it's done nothing but increase the hatred and the anger in our country to where... Oh, if you don't agree with me, you're just scum and I'm not going to... No, that's not how the world works and that's not how the world moves forward.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can't just, oh, unless you agree with me, I'm shutting down and not listening.
Right.
No, even if you have complete opposite beliefs of me, I want to hear you out because you can derive lessons from anything.
Yeah.
Right.
And I really enjoyed that.
What really helps me when it comes to those scenarios is even though I might disagree on something about anything, but because we're talking about politics, I'll say it for this. But sometimes I just think, man, how could they believe that thing? But then I have to remind myself that, you know, they, in their mind, they also are thinking probably the same thing that I'm thinking, like, how can I believe this? But then at the end of the day, everyone who votes wants what's best for our country and for them. And I think ultimately we have to just get back to the point of agreeing to that.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, we have different opinions because we've all experienced different things in our lives.
Exactly.
And that's how we got to this point. But thankfully, we all want what's best.
Yeah.
And I think that we can just, you know, live in that and just know that each one has the best outcome at heart.
And, you know, the majority of people don't want you to, you know, fail. Everybody wants everybody to succeed, at least, you know, good people. Yeah.
Well, there's
except
some people
that,
on my
except
Facebook.
That one lady who wants her fiance to get rid of her right. 5-year-old daughter, that lady just go burn in hell.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But Kim, star charts, we're going to have on our website. When I did my star chart episode, we had several listeners ask if they could purchase, you know, for me to do that for them. And I wanted to educate myself further, but I have. And probably by the time this comes out in a few weeks, if you go on our website, it's mysteryinc.com. You can hit me up and I can do it's not so much a star chart. It's a life chart. It'll be the same thing I did with all of us on the episode. But if you'd like, I can also do a tarot card pull and, you know, it'll probably be through email. I feel like that'll be easier. And I'll give you the same type of email that I wrote for us when you can print it if you want, or you can just save it. And then I can also do a video of me reading it and going over and, you know, explaining it just the same exact way I did for the episode.
Nice.
But that should be available shortly on our mystery.com.
Yeah.
That will be fun.
I'm excited. I was hesitant because this is stuff I've always wanted to get into, but it's one of those, like, as we've covered psychics and scammers and stuff, and I don't want people to ever think that, like, oh, they're just, you know, I don't want to be called that. And again, I'm not a psychic medium. I do believe our family has gifts, and I have some of those, but I don't communicate with the dead. But I am open to all kinds of things in this universe. And I feel like you just knowing that stuff is interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Like even when I was doing both of yours, just very interesting to me.
Yeah. I agree.
I agree.
All right. Well, are we ready for our unmasked episode, our 100th unmasked episode?
I have a great story about what happened to me on Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah, I have a couple
Shane
stories.
Reminds me to do, or reminds me to tell you.
Okay.
So
I will try.
So we've done 100 Mystery Inc. episodes and 100 Unmasked. So we've technically done 200 episodes.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, because we started doing our Unmasked on
episode
day
one.
Yeah.
We've done 200 episodes.
I think it was actually during the episode that we came up with the name Unmasked. I don't think that we actually had the bonus name figured out.
Yeah, we were brainstorming.
I haven't listened to those early ones for a long time.
Oh my
time.
Gosh, I'm afraid to. Like anytime I go back to listen, even to some of my old Foul Play
you get
ones,
embarrassed.
I'm just like, do I need to redo that?
I've tried to listen to my first few Rottens and I couldn't make it past.
Well, you just learn so much. You get into a nice groove and you just become comfortable. And
I was still using my weather reporter voice on today's episode.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you on Unmasked.
Oh, wait. I have a joke.
Oh, okay. What's your joke, Josh?
I forgot. How is a man with a vasectomy and a Christmas tree similar? The wood may be hard, but the balls are purely for decoration.
Oh, my word.
That's a good one, Josh.
So, guys, join us on Patreon for our Unmasked episode. And also, all of our episodes are filmed, even our Unmasked. So you can come see our pretty little faces and our little smile, and you can watch Kim crochet while we talk.
I'm real cute sometimes.
Don't forget to come and buy some merch off of our
MrInc.com. We got lots of coffee cups, and we are designing a new
tumbler.
A new tumbler for our VIP level on Patreon.
So any of our Patreons, how we do it, it's once you reach
3 months
for our paid patrons. I think it's the $10 one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically, the cups are $30, and once you have paid $30 into Patreon, so usually 3 months, mm-hmm. we send you a cup. And I think I have 3 or 4 that I have to send out, but we ran out and didn't realize it until the other day. So we're
that happens a lot.
We're designing and ordering new tumblers yeah. now. And
so if you know if you're due for one, just be patient with us because you're
a lot of them don't even know until they get it in the mail. Yeah. They're like, "What the hell? Yeah.
Or they forgot.
Yeah.
For 3 months. But what we also do is, if you are also a VIP member who have also received one of our previous cups. If you like the new design, we will figure out how to get you one as well. Because it's going to be a newer, unique design, and so we're excited about it.
But if you ever order something and you don't get it within about a week or so, don't hesitate to message
us.
We all work, and Shane goes to school, and sometimes we just, I'm real forgetful. I get home, and when the sun sets at 5, I get into bed, and I forget things.
Right. I start watching my true crime stuff.
Yeah. Put on that Golden Girls and I'm gone to the world.
Oh, yeah. All right,
that's
guys.
My
well,
problem.
We will meet you on Unmasked and we'll see you later.
Bye. Thank you for joining us for 100 episodes.
Holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.